Hello and welcome to Scholars Speak, a podcast from the Mitchell Institute, in which we catch up with Mitchell scholars far and wide to hear their stories. Thank you for joining me, your host, Michelle Martin, the 1999 Mitchell Scholar from Scarborough High School, for today's episode of Scholars Speak. And now let's get to it. Today, we are so thrilled to have Kate Duross on the podcast. Kate grew up in Blue Hill, Maine, which is an absolutely beautiful community. And I know, Kate, that you have a very interesting story to share with us. I know you have described it before as being a poster child for a non-linear path. And I think we can all benefit from hearing about that part of your journey. So welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Michelle.
So tell us a little bit about where you grew up in Blue Hill. Where did you go to high school? Maybe some of what you loved about studying in school at that time.
Yeah, so I actually grew up in Bucksport, went to high school in Blue Hill at George Stevens Academy. My mom taught there. So even though my town was not one of the sending towns that sent students to Blue Hill, because my mom worked there, my sister and I both attended high school there. And yeah, it's a very small town, like a lot of Maine high schools. It gets students from a number of other small towns. So there's a lot of students from sort of these very small elementary schools coming together in a larger high school, but still pretty small. My graduating class, I think, was like 88 kids. So very close, tight-knit group of students.
And is there anything that you remember about that time, you know, maybe a subject or something that you were really interested in that maybe even is showing up now and you didn't really expect that to happen?
Yeah, I mean, when I was in high school, music was a very important part of my life and sort of why I went to George Stevens in the first place. They had a great music program. I don't get to do it a ton these days. I was very interested in history. I always was fascinated of sort of learning what happened in the past. I was terrible at remembering the dates that were attached to everything. So that part of history was not great for me. But you know, that's sort of coming back into my life now, working in government and politics, and sort of there's a lot of looking back to the past. And thankfully, I don't always have to remember when things happened, just that they have happened before.
Has music shown up again in your life in any way?
Not really. I continued playing through college. I was in the jazz ensemble at UMaine, but unfortunately, it's sort of fallen off since then.
That's fantastic. I also graduated from University of Maine at Orono, and it was an amazing school to attend. So when you got the Mitchell Institute scholarship, what do you remember about that experience and what came next?
Yeah, I just remember, you know, my mom was the one who really pushed me to apply for it. Like I said, she was a teacher at my high school and had seen other students get the scholarship. And obviously with Senator Mitchell's name attached to it, it had that prestige. When I got the scholarship, I didn't really think, you know, I was just like, okay, great, some money to help me pay for school, and had no idea sort of how impactful it would be now, you know, almost 20 years later, which is crazy to say. You know, for me, my experience through college was really bookended by two Mitchell events, the welcome brunch, the beginning of my first year, and then the first mile too at the end of my senior year. So those were sort of my really only major connections to the Mitchell Institute other than the check that came once a year. But those were really impactful. And, you know, it's great to still be connected to the Mitchell Institute and see sort of the amazing work it is continuing to do and sort of the ways it's grown in the last 20 plus years.
The welcome brunch is something I also remember. And for those who don't know, the welcome brunch is for newly named Mitchell scholars that are headed off to college in the fall. It happens in early August, and it's an opportunity for them and their parents or people that are important to them in their lives to come and start to get acquainted with the Mitchell Institute, but also other Mitchell scholars. So if you're arriving on a big campus, there may be another scholar at that brunch that you connect with, and that kind of helps your transition as well. So very meaningful event to get you started on the right foot for sure.
And I will say it was, you know, exactly what you described at the Mitchell brunch. I sat down next to a random person and it turned out we had a couple of classes together and we ended up being best friends our first year of college and are still really close today. So is a very, you know, impactful start to my Mitchell experience.
That's great to hear. Okay, so let's get to the nonlinear because I think it's such a fascinating story. It involves Disney World, it involves Vermont, it involves law school. So please tell us more about the the sort of history that you've been on here after college?
Yeah. So at UMaine, I studied marine biology, but minored in Spanish. And it was through that Spanish minor that I sort of realized I wanted to do something a little different than I thought at the beginning of my college career. I ultimately decided to go to law school. Through my minor, I took a class that was a service learning class in Honduras. And it was there that sort of had my eyes opened up to a different part of the world and a lot of the different issues that we just don't face in the US. And, you know, I grew up in a very privileged little bubble and it sort of burst my bubble a little bit, but in a good way. And so I came back, sort of this revelation all happened March, right before graduation of my senior year. So I decided to just sort of take a little break, look at law school, and ended up taking a year off and then going back to school to get another bachelor's degree. I moved to Florida at this point, started working at Disney World just to make some money, and then went back to school at the University of Central Florida, got a degree in political science, and then ended up going to law school in Vermont, and then back down to Florida. Worked at Disney again while I was studying for the bar exam. And now I am here in Washington, D.C., where I work for Senator Angus King on Capitol Hill.
It's a very exciting journey. Yeah. I'm sure, in many ways, the Disney experience and the training translates across many different things that you do in life. So also probably fun, but really impactful work too.
Yeah, absolutely. I always say that, you know, I spent many years bartending and waiting tables, and I feel like those experiences sort of give you a lot of people skills and skills that I think are applicable to any job, regardless of what industry you're in. So yeah, Disney was definitely an experience and a lot of good stories to tell from my time there.
So can you say a little bit more about what your day-to-day looks like in the job that you're doing now?
Well, no day is the same. Depends on the day, but most of the time when we're in session, so when the senator's down here, I am either, you know, staffing him in meetings or just meeting with constituents myself. A lot of those happen on Zoom now, which is great. I think it's helping a lot of people who didn't necessarily have access, the ability to come to DC for these meetings. You know, it's opening up our access to them and their access to us. So it's been, I think, really important. I also staff Senator King on the Energy and Natural Resources Committee. So when we have committee hearings, I will, you know, help him prepare for those and, you know, go with him to those hearings. My position is legislative aide. So in addition to sort of the more policy heavy stuff, I also am responsible for drafting responses to constituents. So anyone who writes into the senator about any of the sort of policy issues within my portfolio, I start the draft of all those responses. Senator King approves all of them. So he sees every letter that gets sent out to constituents. So that's another big part of my job as well.
It sounds like it's probably a lot of fun, a lot of, you know, intense time as well, but a little bit different every day, which keeps it interesting and challenging, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. It's always something new. And, you know, a lot of times it sort of changes on a dime where you think, okay, we're going to be doing this thing. This is what we're going to be doing all week. And then suddenly it's like, nope, switch and do this other thing and drop everything and pick up something new. So it's, yeah, definitely chaotic sometimes, but always exciting.
Based on that nonlinear path that you took us through, are there a couple of pieces of advice that you might offer to Mitchell scholars based on that information that you shared with us and your journey?
Yeah, I mean, I would say don't be afraid to take that nonlinear path. I mean, I think sort of there were definitely times in that journey where I was like, what am I doing here? Like, I've gone awry. I just need to start over. But I think if you sort of trust the process and if you have an end goal and are taking incremental steps towards that, I think that's all that really matters. Another big piece of advice, and I think it's what started me on that nonlinear path, was in school, you know, taking classes that are maybe a little outside of your major. You know, like I said, I minored in Spanish and I always had to explain to people, like, everyone was always like, why are you majoring in marine biology and minoring in Spanish? Like, how are you connecting those? And it's like, you know, those were just two passions of mine. I enjoyed speaking Spanish, even in the science world, like science happens in other countries and other languages. So I think, you know, being able to do something a little different that's outside of your main focus can sometimes help open doors that you didn't realize were possibilities and, you know, open new pathways for you.
You never really know how far down the path those things might pop into your life mm-hmm. and be really helpful as well. When you were going through the process of even just considering going to college, I know your mom helped you find the Mitchell Institute and the scholarship. Were there other people or other things that she had done to really help you make that choice?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, my parents, you know, were really the ones who pushed me and my sister. College was never really an option. Like, we always knew that after high school comes college. So I think that helped us. That was always the end goal. Is it was never a question of, are you going to college? It was, where are you going and what are you going to study? So I think having that support so close to home and from such an early age was really important and helped get us to where we are now.
And how about outside of work and outside of the demands of that everyday life, what are your passions and what types of things you like to do in your spare time? And maybe how do those intersect with your professional life?
Yeah, I would say one of my main hobbies is running. I hurt my Achilles earlier this year, so I'm taking a little break, but haven't found a way to really cross running through my job, unless it's running through the halls to another meeting. That and bad reality television are my two time killers. So,
yeah, I imagine that also running provides a great way to see the city and, you know, sort of get to know your area as well. So yeah. That must be a great thing as well. All right. So we usually like to end with what we like to call our lightning round. And I will give you three words. And after I say each one, we're just looking to know what is the first word that comes to mind for you. First word is scholarship.
Opportunity.
Education.
The world.
Maine.
Home.
That's for sure. Well, Kate, it has been such a pleasure to hear a little bit more about the journey you've been on. I love the idea of the nonlinear path. I once had a mentor who described career progression as lattice versus ladder. And it's something that I think there's so much value in. And so for people to understand somebody like you and the path that you decided to take and how it can land you in such an amazing spot like you're in now, is fantastic for us to be able to share. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of Scholars Speak. If you're interested in learning more about the Mitchell Institute, you can visit www.mitchellinstitute.org or follow along on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.